Bart. This is Bart Cop Radio show number 4. We hope it's going to be good. We figured out one thing we've been doing wrong. We haven't been going down the checklist at the top of the show. That's going to solve a lot of problems, trust me. Hold on, let me get the checklist. All right, number 1, get the Chinako. Hold on. That's nice stuff. Okay, here we are, show number 4. Going to have some of this, some of that. Now remember, it's important that you lower your expectations, because all I've got is a microphone, a smart mouth, and the truth. So we're going to try to make good on that. All right, let's see what kind of trouble we can get in today. A little bit of comedy here. This is a joke from Dave. It's a Clinton joke. Generally, when Dave does a Clinton joke, it's really, really lame, and it would have been funny 5 years ago, but this one's kind of funny because it's kind of current.
A couple of days ago here in New York City, Hillary Clinton had a book signing at Barnes & Noble, and like 1,200 people showed up, and she signed so many copies of the book that she had a blister on her right hand. And it was so bad that the next night she had to slap Bill with her left.
Now, this next bit, it would be my guest, George Miller, Dave's old friend, wrote this joke. Not sure Dave meant to tell it. I think it popped into his head, and he said it really before he thought about it a whole lot. The setup was, Harrison Ford was on the show, and Dave's been saying for years that the first car he ever bought was some Harrison Ford in Muncie or whatever. So anytime he sees the movie star Harrison Ford, he thinks about his first car, and that brings him into the used car joke.
I can't believe it. Harrison Ford Mercury.
I can't believe it. Really, what?
Come on in. We'll treat you right.
We'll treat you right. You got your first car there. What was it, a Falcon?
It was a Falcon. A pre-owned. Pre-owned Falcon, yeah. Bring the wife. Come on in. We'll talk it over. Bring the wife, and then we'll dick her. What? What? It's the monkey box talking. Well, you know what I'm saying.
I know.
Now, we have to ask the question, does Jesse Ventura read BartCop.com? Ordinarily, you wouldn't think so, but this sure does sound familiar.
I was thinking of you when this whole New York Times scandal broke, because you've been on this thing for a long time.
Yep.
And when the whole thing about New York, I said, what has Jesse got to say about this? Because I wanted to ask you about that. What do you...
Well, honestly, today, the New York Times thing is just, in my opinion, the tip of the iceberg. It's going on from the very smallest papers up to the very largest ones, because they're in competition. It's just like a TV show. They're out for rating points. They're out for money. And that's the problem we have with the news today. They're not into reporting the news today. They're into creating it.
Well, what is the most... Is there the most honest news out there? Is there anybody? Is there a magazine or...
Probably, I'd say the National Enquirer would probably...
Really?
Would probably rate as being just as honest as all the rest of them.
Yeah.
Good for you, Jesse. That's how you tell the truth. Next... Jay Leno asked him if it was important that we find the WMD.
How about this weapons of mass destruction thing? How important is it that we find them?
I think it's very important, because that was the essence of the whole war that was sold to the American public, was that we were in imminent danger, that Saddam had these weapons, and I think it's extremely important that the president follow through and prove it to us.
Well, there's all this talk.
It goes back to, I'm from the Vietnam era, and it was the Gulf of Tonkin incident then, where they said the Vietnamese had fired upon two of our Navy ships, and that's what got us into the Vietnam War. Well, now they've come out a few years ago and said the whole thing was made up. Okay. It never happened.
Okay.
So the entire Vietnam War was based upon a lie, and I remember Lyndon Baines Johnson, our president, on TV, telling us we had been fired upon. And it was a lie.
You think that's the case here?
I don't know if it is, but I know government's not above lying to us.
Right. Okay.
I'll guarantee you that.
Okay. All right. All right. Now you have...
And I'll tumble for you news. President Bush spent a long weekend with his parents in Kennebunkport, Maine. Where they tooled around on a Segway scooters until W wiped out. Aw, Dad must be so proud of Jeb. The senior Bush blurted, God in heaven, how did this redneck spring from my waspy loins? Then added, I meant, are you okay, son? Fortunately, the president was able to break his fall by landing on two people with no health insurance.
Yeah. Well, that Craig Kilborn's kind of loud. I hope in the, oh, Jesus, all the stuff, when I get all this put in a pile, then you got to encode it and naturalize it and neutralize it, and, oh, there's all kinds of buttons I got to hit. Hopefully those will make everything equal out. All right, next up, how about some phone calls? Let's hear from the people.
My name is Reggie McMurdo. I live in Montana. On today's Butt Cop, I noticed that you're having trouble with tennis elbow or tendonitis, and I wanted to give you my insight on that. I've had that trouble myself. Generally, it's an accident caused by twisting your arm while you're working it. That's where the tennis players get that a lot, by putting English on the ball when they're swinging really hard. That's where you got the nickname. It's a dislocation. It's in your lower arm bones. If you see a chiropractor, a good one, he'll fix that in two or three pops and completely fixed. And what the medical community does for that ailment is should be criminal. These guys will pop your elbow about, depending on how bad it is, I think the worst mine ever was out. It's been out for months, so they popped it. The guy popped it four times, four different days, one day at a time, and it's completely fixed. Give it a try. I know you'll like it. And enjoy your sight, by the way. And good luck with Bart Cop Radio.
Reggie, thanks for that. I appreciate it. I am going to give medical science first shot at this, but, oh, trust me, before we get anywhere near surgery, I'll be chiropracting. But, yeah, thanks for that.
It's medical bad. I also have Monica's story, okay? So what I'll do is I'll do, like, a compare and contrast of Hillary's story and Monica's story. Wouldn't that be great?
I want Hillary to run for president, and I want Bill to run for vice president. I think that's the winning combo.
Bernie, 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 Bernie. Bernie, I'm watching. I'm watching MSNBC this morning. And they're interviewing Lucy the Bat, Lucy Goldberg. She just looks like a hideous death warmed over her. And Bob Kerr's asking her the question. And what's the question? Do you think that Hillary Clinton wrote her brand new book just so that she can run for president in 2008, and I think, what the fuck kind of question to Lucy Ann Goldberg is that? Talk about pitching a wet fish. Is it any wonder nobody watches that frickin' network? And, by the way, there isn't a tow missile big enough that you can lob at Fox News. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I don't know what we're going to do. But I know what we're going to do. We're going to keep calling and listening. Talk to you. Bye.
Oh, a little sidebar on Lucy the Bat. She has been known in interviews to mention BartCop.com. Generally what happens, I think someone said she did this on C-SPAN. Someone called in and mentioned what a hateful piece of crap she was. And she said, oh, you want to see hateful? Go to BartCop.com and see what they say about me over there. And all we've ever said about Lucy the Bat is that she's a bat and that she occasionally blew LBJ. I don't see the hate there.
Hi, this is Medical Barbie. You probably didn't know my middle name is Marijuana. Medical Marijuana Barbie. I just want to say, Viva Ed Rosenthal! One day. Not bad, huh? One day for 100 plants. Now compare that to John Sinclair's 10 years for two joints. So we have made a lot of progress on the legalization front. So anyway, good news. Congratulations to all the weed smokers out there. Ed Rosenthal isn't a doctor. I would think a better description of what he is a healer. Okay, talk to you later.
Mark, in Burlington, North Carolina, I don't know if you saw Hillary Clinton in the hallway of Congress before a microphone speaking, and the background was like there were trucks. You could hardly hear her. And when she walked off, the trucks left too. Now, this was on Fox. Can you believe that? I cannot believe that, John. Thanks, Bart.
Hey, Bart, it's me, Joe from Toledo, Ohio. How you doing, man? Yeah, I just read that thing about Pat Buchanan, what he said about what happened in France in that tennis game with Williams. I told some guys at work, I said, hey, when anybody comes over here, all they get is screamed at is USA, USA. I go, what the fuck do you expect? You know, it's in their goddamn country. I'll tell you, it's my boy. It really is. It is unreal. I just can't believe this shit. Well, I'll let you go, buddy. I hope your arm's feeling better. Bye.
Yeah, a little update on the arm there. Last Wednesday, I went and got a brace. They call it a brace. It's a strap. It's a hard thing that you hold on real tight to your outer elbow with Velcro. Seems to be working. It took a sharp pain and kind of spread it around into a bigger duller pain, but it does feel better, and it seems to be getting better, so that would be nice if this little damn strap would solve the problem there.
I was scanning through my radio stations the other day and had the misfortune to come across shithead Sean Hannity. God, that guy's worse than Limbaugh. And he was harping about who cares if Hillary comes out and has a bestseller. I had a bestseller, too. This is the point at which I wish I could kick in my override microphone and say things like, yeah, but hers is nonfiction. Have a nice day. Hey, Bart, this is Dave from Joliet. We need something like the Office of Anti-Propaganda, where we get to spew as much vitriolic BS about them as they do about us. Just, you know, like for every pig boy lie, just turn something around. I mean, they apparently like to just make things up, so I think we should be able to do that too. I know it's stooping to their level, and you can't keep a man down without holding him there, but if we get them down.
Hey, Bart, Lynn here. You know, as much as I applaud Mr. Gates for donating $50 million most recently to the AIDS cause, I'm kind of wondering why I had to pay so much for all my Microsoft products through the years just so he could become the richest man in America and then give it away to Africa because he thinks it's too much money for his kids to inherit. Anybody else think strangely about this?
I would not want to be the richest man in the world. One thing Gates is going to come into a lot of criticism for, things like he's got billions, plural. I mean, instead of giving $50 million to AIDS, he could have given $2 billion and had a much bigger impact. I mean, no matter what he does, he's not going to be able to spend all his money if he tried the rest of his life. He could give it to Smirk, and there would still be some left over at the end of his life. So, yeah, it's kind of stupid for him to charge exorbitant prices and then get $50 million back when he should be charging less to start with and giving more back. But what are you going to do? He's a Republican. A little more comedy. Lewis Black, Back in Black.
Well, the war is over, and I was so overjoyed I ran around Times Square looking for a nurse to kiss. And all I got was a face full of mace and two tickets to Mamma Mia. I preferred the mace. Now that we're in peacetime, the United States has pledged $600 billion to help rebuild Iraq. $600 billion? We just spent $100 billion unbuilding it. Meanwhile, here in America, we're flat broke. 36 states are now operating at a loss and planning huge cutbacks and tax hikes. In New York, things have gotten so bad that Mayor Bloomberg has proposed two budgets. One he calls painful, and the other he calls devastating. Quick, get out of the city now before you have to be rescued by Kurt Russell in an iPad. Other lawmakers are looking to fill their coffers with a beer tax, which has been proposed in Pennsylvania, Idaho, Nevada, and Utah. A beer tax? In Utah? Nobody drinks there. They raise more money with a Jew tax. But by far, the stupidest proposal to raise money is in Pennsylvania, where some politicians are pushing for a tax me more fund. Now, instead of an across-the-board tax hike, good Samaritans would just voluntarily pay more taxes. Are you out of your mind? Why doesn't Pennsylvania just rummage through the state sofa cushions? So enjoy that $600 billion Iraq. And America, if you want to get a taste of that, you better start developing weapons of mass destruction. John?
Thank you, Lewis. That was lovely.
This next clip is from yesterday's Vulgar Pig Boy. He'd been out of town for a few days. He went to Ireland to play some golf. I think he said he walked 60 miles playing golf. I just can't see him doing anything like that. But anyway, he was out of town when David Brinkley died. And the first thing Rush wanted to do when he got back was pay tribute to David Brinkley, because he was such a good man. He was such a great man. He was an honest man. He was a pioneer. He told it like it was. He was a straight shooter. He was all just the greatest man that ever lived. And then he plays this clip.
I wish to say that we all look forward with great pleasure to 4 years of wonderful, inspiring speeches, full of wit, poetry, music, love, and affection. Plus more goddamn nonsense. The other is that...
You can't say that on the air, Mr. Brinkley.
Well, I'm not on the air.
So apparently in the vulgar pig boys world, if you want to pay tribute to a man that you claim you think is great, you dig through your old files and you find the two instances where he made a total ass out of himself, and you put that on the air. That's just crazy. Why in the hell would you want to pay tribute to the man by playing his stupid schoolboy gaffes? There's two of them. Here's another one.
Among things I admire almost near the top is creativeness, and everyone in this group has it. It shows in your work. It shows in your thinking, and it shows in your speech. What you do, what you write, what you say. And it's one reason this group is so terrific. Bill Clinton has none of it. He has not a creative bone in his body. Therefore, he's a bore and will always be a bore.
There you have it. That was David Brinkley. He was never more popular than after that. I don't care what the liberals say. But that was a seminal moment. You never got that kind of honesty on television and from television analysts, particularly on the big networks. And he came out with it. He eventually did apologize, as I say, to Clinton on the air. He invited Clinton to appear with him on, I guess, one of his final shows. Clinton did, and he apologized. I think Clinton accepted the apology, and they went on. But
there are so many multiple crocs here. Jesus, hard to know where to start. First of all, this was election night. It was, you know, probably after midnight. Brinkley had been up all this time. He was already in his 80s. He was a very, very, very old man who had worked probably the hardest day of the year for him. And he was very tired, and he wasn't thinking. His brain had shut off. And to say that Bill Clinton is a bore, I mean, God, you can, and they have, called him every name in the book, but boring. And he said Clinton doesn't have a creative bone in his body. Excuse me, it was 1932, the last time a Democrat got elected who went on to two successful terms. And the idea that Clinton is boring, and Jesus Christ, he's boring compared to Cokie Roberts, Sam Donaldson, and George Will. Oh, you're such a terrific group, you guys, because you worked for me on my show. But Clinton's a bore? You're damn right he had to apologize for that. It was a goddamn stupid thing to say. And even if he somehow meant it, what a useless and pointless thing to say on television. Hell, right in the middle of a damn election. They're trying to figure out who won Florida, and Brinkley thought that would be a great time to go beat up on Clinton. What an idiot he was. I'm sorry that he died, but he was an idiot. I thought he was a good journalist when he was with Huntley, but about the time he went to ABC, he just kept drifting farther and farther to the right. And the reason Rush played that is because he said for Christmas 96, the three or four of them on This Week with Brinkley, they each picked somebody to interview, and Brinkley picked Rush. Now, you got to be a right-wing hard-on to pick a guy like Rush Limbaugh if you could have anybody in the country to sit down and talk to. And he wants to talk to the vulgar pig boy. Well, that tells a whole lot about what was going on in Brinkley's mind at the time. Oh, and the last thing, Rush said, you don't get that kind of honesty anymore. Oh, please. It wasn't honesty. It was stupidity. It was exactly the unnecessary, wrong, uncalled for thing to say in the middle of an election to start trashing a popular incumbent president. That was a very stupid thing for an old man without a brain to say. But since it was something said bad about Clinton, A, Rush has to praise it, and B, he plays it for what in effect is his eulogy here, his... It's like Rush is speaking at his funeral, and at his funeral he picks up the two most embarrassing things he could possibly think of out of a man's 50 or 60 year career and puts it on display just to trash Clinton a little bit. He would rather trash Clinton than pay a tribute to a man he claims is great. That's what I'd call a lying whore.
You're listening to Bart Cop Radio. Or are you?
We
Boy, nothing puts me in a good mood like a little bit of Shirley. Oh, and especially when she's moaning about if we sleep together. Oh, my God, Shirley, you're too much woman for me. It would never work. But funny about music, how you can be having a bad day and you can put on a little piece of music and get a big pickup out of it. It's so different than most other things. I mentioned this on the page before, but, you know, as much as I like Pulp Fiction or The Godfather, Blazing Saddles or something, you just can't, you know, just pop that on and just get an instant rush out of it. But there's something about music, good music. It can just immediately, just in seconds, just elevate you to some other place. And best thing about the music is you can play it again and again. You know, I am known for my excess on some things. And there's times when I made me a little CD of what I call the fog songs that Shirley does. And I can put that sumbitch on and just let it go and go and go. And eventually Mrs. Bart says, will you please turn that off? But, hey, I get into a good thing. I just want more of it. All right, what's next? Now I got another clip from Dave. This is what usually happens, used to happen on Friday, but Dave quit doing Fridays, kind of, I don't know if that's suddenly, but a week ago he just announced Friday can go to hell, so they've been doing this on Thursdays. This is the famous James Brown act, where Paul starts singing the Blood, Sweat, and Tears song, and a new guest star comes out every week and helps Paul off the stage. They throw a cape around him and assist him backstage, and then he breaks free and comes back. He just has to sing about how the woman done him wrong, and this is one of those. Following is an ad for our only sponsor so far, MickRaceley-Silver.com. When you go to Mick's website, which is MickRaceley-Silver.com, you'll see a deal called Design Info. When you click on that, it says, challenge me with the unusual request, jewelry, accessories, sculpture, boxes. If you've seen a piece somewhere, perhaps in your mind, and you don't know where to get it, contact me. Offer custom one-of designing, yours or mine. I can do fabrication, casting, repoussé, don't know what that is, fire painting, which is drawing on silver in a plastic state. I will combine metal with wood, leather, stones, fossils, relics, etc. I'm able to work from photos, drawings, and or spec sheets. Plus, we know he can work off a Chinako bottle. I craft biomechanical, tattoo, counter and subculture art, and object d'art. My favorite specialties are wildlife, flora, fauna, and animal and human anatomical themes. Sounds like something for the ladies. I can design promotional and award recognition products using corporate, club, or organization logos. Products include buckles, pins, pendants, rings, or other accessories applications. Contact me at MickRaceley, which is RaceLey-Silver.com. And remember, commercials for Bart Cop Radio are only $11. Your kids have $11 to throw away, so surely you do. If you got a website, if you're in a business, if you're in a band, it'd be a real good idea to advertise on Bart Cop Radio, because lots of people are going to hear it. You ready for a story? Now, this is one of those true stories. You know how when you hear a story like this, it's always a guy I work with, his nephew, used to mow the lawn of the guy who knows the person, you know, one of those deals. Nuh-uh, this ain't one of those. This is a lady who sits next to Mrs. Bart at work. Anyway, so this lady's telling her about her new marriage. And what happens, she's been married, I think this was her third marriage. It was her husband's second marriage. So, while they were dating, the husband, you know how men are, for some reason he decided to get religion. And he said he wanted to get the true religion, so he wanted to turn Catholic. because that was the real religion. I always get a kick out of that. Catholics think that the Catholic religion is the true religion. All those other religions, they're just jerking off, you know. So they're dating, and they go to see the priest, and they say, well, you know, we're going to get married. We'd like to get married. We want you to do the service. But we got this little problem that this is my second marriage, and it's her third. So is there a way around that? And the priest said, sure, that's not a problem. We can take care of it. He had some excuse. He found a reason to annul one of the ladies, the co-workers' marriages. But then there was the problem of her second marriage and her second marriage and his upcoming second marriage. And the priest said, fine, write me a check for $5,000, and it all goes away. Now, I've been railing about this as long as there's been a page. But I don't know if all the religions are like that or if it's just the Catholics. But if you write them a check, they will give you the magic dispensation, and you can go to heaven if you write them a big enough check. That is bullshit. And we've always heard, I mean, Ted Kennedy, about as publicly a marriage as you can get, married a woman who wasn't his wife. You know what I mean? But anyway, I'm sure he wrote a big fat check, and when you write the Catholics a big fat check, you can do what you want. Boy, that is a nutty way to run a religion. I'll tell you what, Jim Bob.
Hiya, Bart. Jeff in Minneapolis calling. Gosh, you do sound like you're from Oklahoma. Anyway, I just had to tell you, on Lou Dobbs, this wasn't yesterday, but day before, old Lou, warmonger Lou, had a poll on his show, and it was, you know, how important is it, do you think, that they find weapons of mass destruction? And the last choice on the poll was, it's over, get over it. It just boggles my mind. I appreciate you. Keep me sane. See ya.
Well, you know, that brings up a subject that is just damn scary to even think about. I've been seeing the same kind of polls. People say they don't care if Bush lied to drag us into a war. They don't care if there was never any weapons of mass destruction or that Saddam was going to hit somebody. They just don't care. They like the son of a bitch. That puts us in a position where it might embolden them to let it out that Bush knew about 9/11, but it's over with. Who cares? Get over it. The nation seems to have lost its mind, mostly, I think, because the press is backing them up. If the newspaper says who cares, there's a lot of stupid people in this world that are going to do whatever, you know, if they hear Rush say it doesn't matter, they, well, it don't matter. Yeah, how incredibly scary that he can kill that many Americans for a bogus reason, and then people say, oh, well, it's over with. Because, like I say, next up is 9/11, and who cares? It's over with.
Hey, Bart, this is John in Washington, D.C., longtime reader. Mitch at the Julie Fest, love the page, et cetera, et cetera. Here's what pisses me off. I don't know if you read about this, but Newt Gingrich wrote this book. It's supposed to be a novel. Historical novel about how the Confederates won at Gettysburg. And it follows his novel of a few years ago where the Germans won in World War II. And Germans won, took over Europe, that was fine. Although we kicked the Japanese asses in Newt's book. So he's written two books, novels. They're fiction, so he says. But what they really are is another little chapter in the fucking cultural war that is ongoing, into which you and your page are just one of the very few islands of non-bullshit out there. Nobody's picked up on this. People review his stupid fucking Gettysburg book like it's just a novel. What it really is an attempt to put an expensive hardcover book into the hands of several million white, rednecked southern men, so that they can sit on Father's Day and read about how their Confederates won and how it was okay. And frankly, I think Newt should be run out of town on a rail, or perhaps having that rail stuck right up his ass, because he knows what he's doing. He's making millions by peddling thinly veiled revisionist historical bullshit to rednecks, and it's just part of the cultural war that just adds to the Fox News bullshit, the MSGOP bullshit, and all the rest. And nobody's talking about it, and I thought maybe you'd like to. Love your stuff. Keep it up. Hope everything's well. Bye-bye.
I think what we have here is the same problem that Trent Lott had when he went to Strom's birthday party. And you know who had the best take on all that, as you might figure, was Clinton. He said words to the effect, I don't see what the big uproar is about. They always think this way. They always act that way. The prime directive for the Republican Party is screw the blacks. I think that's number one. All this crap about national defense and cut taxes, all that is number two. Number one is screw the blacks. Well, and the gays, too. When Newt writes a book like that, what he's saying is, oh, it would have been so wonderful if the South had won the war, and then we could still have blacks as slaves. Oh, that would be so wonderful. Wouldn't it be great to go back to the good old days when you could just buy and sell blacks like cattle? And, oh, it would be so nice. Remember what Strom said, that we wouldn't have had all these problems? That we wouldn't have had all these problems if Strom had become president. And that's exactly what he meant. There would have been no civil rights. There would have been no equality. There would have been no American dream for anybody of color. That's what the Republican Party stands for. They want to discriminate against blacks and gays. That's the absolute number one. But I think mostly blacks, because, you know, a gay can hide it. But a black man, you can start hating him from 100 yards away. This is what runs the Republican Party. This is our enemy. These are the people who control our government, including that number one bastard who stole the White House. Very, very sickening. But we got to recognize it if we're going to fight it. And when you want the hard-hitting political commentary, where else can you go but John Stewart?
Senator Rick Santorum doesn't care how many wives people have.
No. No, he doesn't, John. But the ultimate goal for Senator Rick Santorum and the Republican Party is to champion the rights of all fetishists. Cross-dressers, chubby chasers, necrophiliacs, granny grabbers, bestiality enthusiasts, scat fans.
Well, this is all very surprising coming from Senator Rick Santorum.
John, the GOP has long claimed to have a big tent. Well, Senator Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania just wants to add an area behind the tent where people can go horse.
Well, that's very interesting. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you, John. And thank you, Senator Rick Santorum, Republican, Pennsylvania, advocate of extreme sexual deviancy in all its forms.
Thank you, Rob. We'll be right back after this.
Open up my newspaper. Didn't like anything I saw. Seemed like it's just a bunch of the same old front page of today's USA is, oh, they had a long, long ass list about all the priests who've been busted and had to pay out money on their child molestations. Oh, and then there's the usual what a great guy smirk is and how great the economy is, and it was just on and on. So I just went past the news, came to the sports section, and they had a little deal on our good friend, Mr. Perfect, Tiger Wu. And it's headlined, Major Moments Knocking Tiger Off His Game. Now I'm going to read you a little bit of this. You're going to like this. Poor putting, wayward driving, subpar equipment. Yeah, he can only afford subpar equipment. Lingering injury, less practice time, inactive scheduling, outside business interests. The courses don't fit him. You name it. Everybody has a theory about why Tiger Woods doesn't hold any of golf's major championships right now. Below that, they mentioned two of his big screw-ups here. The Masters, stalking the leaders Sunday. Why does he have to stalk the leaders? If he's Mr. Perfect, why isn't he leading? Why does he have to get near the leaders and then stalk them? Stalking the leaders Sunday, he made a poor tactical decision on the third hole to use driver. Shouldn't that be the driver or a driver? USA Today, what a paper. After hitting into the woods, he was frustrated and never looked sharp again. Later, he uncharacteristically blamed caddy Steve Williams for the decision to use driver. Well, there they go again. Is that some stupid golf phrase? Use driver, use driver. Then it says U.S. Open. After a strong second round, Woods was again positioned to stalk the leaders. There we go again. Mr. Perfect should always be number one. to stalk the leader Saturday when a fan whistled during the downswing of his second shot on the par 5 first hole. The hole was a scoring hole for Woods. What the hell's that mean? And he surely figured out it was important to get off to a good start. Woods duffed the shot, looked incredulously at the fan, and didn't seem to be his normal competitive mindset from that point on. Aw, the poor baby. The poor thing. Somebody whistled, and that's why he can't hit a golf ball. Jesus, you ever watch a basketball game when there's like 25,000 people screaming at the top of their lungs and they're waving them damn balloons in the air? And geez, and somebody whistled, and Tiger can't play golf no more, that poor bastard. Right now, I guess it's a closely held secret between BartCop.com and its dozens of readers, but we know why Mr. Perfect can't hit a golf ball anymore, because he got the damn hex on him. He got the BartCop hex on his back. He ain't going nowhere with that hex on his back. Remember, the only way he can get out of it, he gives $1 million to the United Negro College Fund, and he apologizes to Bill Clinton for being such a putz. Then he can go back to winning championships, but not until he does those two things. You hear me, Tiger? You want to be champion again? Follow your orders, do what I'm telling you, and you can be champ again. About time to shut down show number four. We're going to close with a deal put together by a couple of DJs in Atlanta, I believe. If I knew their names, I'd like to give them credit. But this is a bunch of snippets of Rush speaking that they have turned into a song. So Rush is going to sing I'm a Nazi for you. I'm only playing the first half, so you copyright people, this is just a little taste of it. It's what, if you haven't heard it, it'll just kill you. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rush Limbaugh.
They say that I'm sleaze and elitist. You please, everybody disagrees with my rap.
It's bad.
I'm horrendous. I'm appalling. My ratings now are falling because I'm so full of
book,
so full of crap.
Full of crap.
With condescending cries, making money, selling lies.
You might say everybody hates my guts.
His guts. I'm offensive. I'm a bigot. I'm a fraud. Can you dig it? I'm a sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic putz.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
I really am,
because I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle class, because
I'm a fat conservative butthead with a face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead.
Hey,
the face of a horse's ass.
I have a subhuman figure, a huge rear end. My brain? That's another story.
It's quite another story.
I have a face the size of a wash tub. And my ass is as big as Missouri.
Yes!
This bastard is sick. He's a fat mom is big and his ass is as big as Missouri.
Yes, Kirby Bob! Manipulating statements, exaggerate the truth. I can't believe they hate my show. It's fires. It's not just because I'm stupid. It's not just because I'm scum. It's just because Republicans are liars. I am heartless. I am vain, insensitive, insane. They say that I'm a national disgrace. I am nasty, insulting, basically revolting. I'm a concentrated pile of human waste. Because I'm a Nazi.
Hi,
I really am, because
I'm a Nazi.
That's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi.
He's a Nazi.
I don't care about the middle classes. I'm a sick Republican sleazeball with a face of a horse's.